Hello and welcome to Rabbiting On, a particularly exciting episode this week because we're in the same room as each other, but not alone. We are here in Hitchin at the Assembly of Reform Rabbis and Cantors. We are here on our annual conference, 3 days away with our colleagues, where we are able to really focus on an important piece of work. We haven't been together in person since our conference in 2019, and it is so wonderful to be learning together, praying together, and looking to the future together. It's the space that we have used as a clergy team over the years to look at really some of the biggest issues that have taken the movement forward. We've discussed inherited status and inclusivity and boundaries. We have taken all sorts of big topics to spend 3 days away out of our communities together to be able to really get to the depths of the work that we can do as colleagues together. We have been looking over these last few days about the future of the Reform movement, and today we are exploring the gifts that each of us offer to each other, to our communities, and to the movement at large. So you're going to hear from many of my colleagues today as we each explore those gifts that we offer to our own rabbinate, our own cantorate, to our communities, and to the movement. So it is with great pleasure that this Rabbiting On allows us to explore the gifts of the clergy of the movement.
Rabbiting On, Rabbiting On, Rabbiting On, Rabbiting On.
Three rabbis, maybe a guest, doing what rabbis do best. Rabbiting, 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 rabbiting on, rabbiting on.
We're going to begin with our first colleague as Rabbi Debbie Young-Summers comes to introduce herself and her offerings.
Good morning. Do I need to introduce myself to Rabbiting On? So I'm Debbie, one of the clergy team at Edwin Hendon Reform Synagogue, and delighted to be here co-hosting Rabbiting On as always. What I have shared is a slide of two tweets that have gone out over the last year. And the first one, which went out a year ago, says, "I'm very heartened by the many Christians on my timeline asking people not to appropriate Passover Seder for Easter. Thank you." And the second tweet says, "I received a phone call this morning from a Muslim woman unknown to me," she just looked up the synagogue, "whose Jewish neighbor had died and she wanted advice on how to offer support without causing offense. Such thoughtful care really touched me. Hashtag be kind." We're challenging everyone to present their gift in 90 seconds. So I think what I wanted to talk about is about voice and conversation. Before becoming a rabbi, I did a lot of both voluntary and professional work in the interfaith world. I grew up in a home where if you didn't have a Christian at your Seder, I didn't think it was kosher. And I've been very lucky to be involved in lots of interfaith programs and initiatives over the years. And somehow that conversation and the ability to hold conversations, I think, has helped form my rabbinic voice. And particularly, I've discovered that there's a voice out in the wider world that I don't think I intended my rabbinate to have, but has grown with it. So I shared these two tweets because they were particularly poignant. The first one about Christian Seders. I saw lots of my Christian colleagues tweeting about a new resource last Easter where they were invited to hold a little service, and it got a lot of traction and a lot of interest. And then this message about our Muslim woman who called had over 5,000 likes, which really kind of took my breath away. I wasn't expecting it. And I think for me, there's a really interesting conversation to be had around how we use Twitter, social media, public spaces to hold conversations and to do it positively and to influence the world in that way. And I've gone over time. Sorry, everyone.
I'm Rabbi Judith Levitt. My picture is divided into two halves. It articulates the difference between equality and equity. On each side are a group of people of differing heights. In the first picture, some people can't see over a fence to watch a baseball match, although I imagine Spurs are playing. They have all been given identical boxes on which to stand. Some are now too tall, and some can't see over the fence at all. In the second picture, each is given a box which meets their individual and specific needs. Each box is different than the others. Some don't need a box. Everyone can see over the fence and enjoy the football. This is my approach to community, and particularly education. I profoundly care about pedagogy. Obviously what we teach, but also how we teach it. And I care about the way we teach. I care that the way we teach meets the needs of each individual, whether at Tot Shabbat or Liebeck College. Probably the area where I've had the most success with this is in designing curricula for B'nai Mitzvah programs. The last time I did this, attendance went from 11% to 88% within a few months. One of my greatest challenges was organizing a bat mitzvah for someone with a genetic condition, meaning she had the mental age of a one-year-old. I met with her family and got to know the bat mitzvah girl. Her favorite activity was jangling keys. When she became bat mitzvah, everyone brought a key for her. I met with her parents and her school together and found out what their educational goals were. She was learning to press a button on a computer to express what she wanted. So for her Havdalah bat mitzvah, she pressed the button on the computer, which lained the Torah blessings, whilst a member of her family read Torah. We had to remove some of the decor from the sanctuary to make it safe for her. We concluded by blessing her under a tallit. I care about teaching to the needs of each individual, according to their ability, but also how they learn.
I'm Rabbi Mark Goldsmith. I'm one of the rabbis at Edgware Hendon Reform Synagogue. The slide that I've got in front of me here shows Bava Metzia, which is a section of the Talmud which is primarily about the laws of buying and selling and how we trade. On one side we have not actually an ancient shuk, it's a shuk you could visit today, Machane Yehuda, with different stalls selling things. Underneath it is a regular organisational or business meeting and people working together. In the middle is a person with a big question mark. And what moves me and what I love to offer in is a sense of how Torah comes to life, to regular decisions that we make about, we know something which can give us some advantage over other people. Do we use that? Do we tell people what they need to know in order to trade with us or to work with us? When we're hiring somebody or working with somebody, do we bring their skills forward properly? And do we ask them to be responsible for their work, just as it would tell us if we studied Talmud and Shulchan Aruch about the responsibilities of an employee to an employer, just as the other way round? I think also that I can bring this into synagogue life and the way that we work together in our shuls, both volunteers and professionals. All of this together is Torah to life, which I know is sitting there in our Talmud telling us how to trade and work with each other.
I'm Rabbi Miriam Berger from Finchley Reform Synagogue. And my slide, you'll see the logo of the Wellspring Project set amongst the beautiful, rich waters of the mikveh. Anyone who has been a mourner will know that our ancient rabbis were true psychologists, that they take us on a journey of healing through the support of the 7 days of Shiva, through the understanding of that shloshim, of that first month, the understanding of what it means to go through all of those firsts within that first year, and to be able to revisit that grief at each yahrzeit without it overwhelming us throughout the year, each year that it comes along. I recognize the importance of us as the modern clergy to be able to use the support of people to be able to take them into moments of ritual. What would it have been like if we had been supported through those moments that shake the foundations of our world and be given Jewish language and ritual to hold us at those moments? How might Jacob's children have been different if at the death of Rachel they had dealt with the death of that mother and the difference within the family of the different children? How might Hannah have been more fulfilled if she'd have been listened to at Shiloh over her infertility? How might Naomi and Ruth have been supported when their lives seem racked with death, financial concerns, and the need to relocate? That these are not new or different episodes in our lives, but we need, as the structures within Jewish community, to hold people, support people, give them a religious language and ritual to hold them through these moments in their lives.
I'm Cantor Zoe Jacobs, part of the clergy team at FRS. And the the video that I've brought is a community music project. It's the setting of a healing prayer called Heal Us Now, written by Cantor Leon Scher. But the reason that I've brought this as an example of the work that I'm so passionate about is because it's an example of a community music project. It's something that we did during lockdown, where we invited people to come online, to be part of learning this song together, people of all different ages, and not just our typical people, not just the members of the choir, not just members of our youth music team, but actually anyone who felt like they were passionate about music. And so we had people who had never before had the opportunity to be part of any kind of online music project. And why am I passionate about that? Because, and I feel like I'm talking to a group of people who know this about me, but I'm going to share it with those of you who don't. Because I'm really excited about the power of music to help us understand liturgy, to communicate text in some way. I think sometimes we can read a text and we can have one experience of it, but that when we hear that text set to music, it's a completely different experience. It takes us on a different journey. It speaks to a different part of our brain. And I'm passionate about the idea that not only people who think they're musical, but maybe even more so, people who don't have an experience of being part of something musical have an opportunity to be part of a project. So I'm actually going to stop speaking so that you can hear a little bit of this video and get a sense of how the project worked. And what you'll see is that in parts we took it very seriously, but that also part of the benefit of a musical project together is that we didn't always take the whole thing super seriously. Because the whole video is about 4.5 minutes long, what you'll see is that different people are popping up on the screen the whole way through, and each time we add different people, instrumentalists, musicians, singers, and we'll forward towards the end so that you get a sense of how many people were involved in the project.
Hi, I'm Rabbi Naomi Goldman. I'm the rabbi at Kol Hai Hatch End Reform Jewish Community. The slide that I brought is a meeting that took place last week, part of our Harris Citizens group. I'm also the chair of Harris Citizens, and this is a group from Kol Hai that's been instrumental in persuading people to rent properties at low-cost rates to the council, basically, so that we can provide homes for Afghan families who have come over as refugees to the Harrow area. And it's expanding now, and more refugees that are facing homelessness in the Harrow area. So this slide is our way of recruiting more people to that campaign. So that's the slide, and that's a meeting that took place last week. So I wanted to talk about our work in Harrow Citizens. I'm passionate about the idea of Judaism as a force for liberation, as a force for repairing the world and bringing us a little closer to the Messianic age. And I'm also passionate about building community, and really our work in Citizens does both. So we do a lot of work now, the council, having seen how we can welcome refugees, is now providing houses via its own landlord network. So our task is to turn these houses into homes. So that's what we're going to be doing on a much larger scale. And I've seen it engage people who really were not otherwise engaged by a Jewish community. The idea of gathering together as Jews and welcoming in the refugee and welcoming in the stranger is fabulous. My time up. Okay. I'll just mention very quickly that we're also working on building low-cost housing for rough sleepers in Harrow, and we've become a living wage employer, and all this is as part of our work with Harrow Citizens.
I'm Rabbi Jonathan Romain. I'm the rabbi of Maidenhead Synagogue. One of my passions is football, and on the illustration are some football scars which are hanging in my study and which people see when they come in. And actually, I found it's been a really, really good way of helping communal work, and in two senses. First is a source of conversation and bonding with members of my community, above and beyond all the normal issues about the synagogue or their health or their family. And it's not for everybody, but actually it's a lot of people do chat about football, whether they are supporters or not. But also, I have two season tickets that I go most weeks with my son, and there's always about seven or eight games he misses. So when he can't go, I take one of the bar or bat mitzvah children from my bar mitzvah class. And again, it's a really great way of bonding with them outside of the synagogue context by going to a football match. And I can sort of reinforce that by something that's happened since I submitted this last week, is that one of my 16-year-olds at the religion school was at his day school, and they were showing a video on Judaism in the RE class, and as it happened, I was in it. And he jumps up and says, "He's the guy who took me to a football match." Not, "He's my rabbi." Not, "He taught me at Cheder." Not, "He did my bar mitzvah." But, "He's the guy that took me to a football match." It shows what resonance.
Hi, I'm Rabbi Jackie Tabak, and I'm convener of the Bet Din for the Reform Movement here in Great Britain. I also help run some of the Bet Din in Europe. So you can tell that one of my great passions is going to be about bringing people into the Jewish fold. And I have shared on the screen just the leaflet, one of the leaflets that we produce when we hold a weekend away for those who are maybe just thinking about conversion or in the process of that movement towards Judaism, or else have actually just gone through the Bet Din and still have questions they need to discuss. It's been called an RSY Netzer weekend away for adults. And that's really what we're aiming to produce on this weekend. It's inclusive, it's friendly. In fact, it's so friendly The last weekend away we did, just before lockdown in person, two people met and have since married. That's not bad going, really. And we are now seeing the results of these weekends at the court. People coming to the court who maybe have had questions, worries about originally whether they would become Jewish, but the weekend made them make that decision, and how much we welcome people into our midst.
Hi, I'm Rabbi Deborah Blawson. I'm one of the clergy team at Finchley Reform Synagogue. And what everyone is looking at on the screen are three Haggadah covers, each of which in their own way is a piece of political satire, a cover of Jews Week, a cover of the Newly Statelessman magazine, and a poster for Alt-Right and the Seven Executive Orders film from 2019. I really love digital art and digital media. And for me, creating something like this every year has been a bit of a passion project. And for me, my rabbinate is so much about thinking about revelation and the continuing process of revelation that is represented in human creativity and in our technological revolution. I think it's incredibly exciting that we have so many different ways of bringing opportunities for connection, for communication, and for truth finding and communication into our world. And the expanding frontier of digital media gives people new ways to communicate values, to engage with each other, and to be playful and take ownership of their Judaism. I'm really excited about what's possible when we learn from the world of the meme, the world of the political cartoon, and understand that when we get to a place where we can create this kind of text together, that actually we're bringing together so many different levels of understanding. And so this is something that I bring to my rabbinate and wanted to share with you these pieces of artwork from the last few years that I put together that have been a real source of joy for me as well.
I'm Shulamit Ambalu from Shari Tzedek North London Reform Synagogue, and on my slide you can see a cover of what I think is one of the most important books about synagogue life. It's called Generation to Generation, and underneath that there's a picture of what's called a genogram, which is an image of how we, a technique for drawing who's in families. I am really fascinated by organizations, synagogues, how we function. And a big part of my learning and the time in how I think about synagogue leadership is I invest in really reading and learning about how we are made up of different families that are working through their processes, their life processes, and they unfold in synagogue life. And so we need to understand our synagogues and who they are, what our challenges and issues are, through some of those wonderful resources of family systems theory, for example. So that's a big passion of mine. Another passion of mine is getting to grips with ordinary life through text. And this is a very bad picture of the teaching notes that I'm teaching at Leo Beck at the moment in a rabbinic literature course, which this semester I'm teaching on sex and gender in the Talmud. And I absolutely adore rabbinic literature because it is so difficult and so demanding and demands so much of me. And demands so much of me as a learner and a teacher. And I see what it has to offer has a direct input and interaction into my life. My third image is a mystery object, which I'm holding up for everyone here now. It's not a jar of oregano. It's a jar of marmalade. And I am leaving you with a question about what is the relationship of this jar of marmalade, which I made myself, and this tiny incomprehensible image here of a book by one of the greatest writers in the world on the art of fermentation and preservation. What is the connection between that and what I've just said about texts and understanding the dynamics of community?
Mm. Hello, I'm Rabbi Daniel Lichtman, Rabbi of Mekor Chaim. I've put up here an image of the cover of the book that Rabbi Jonathan Romain recently edited, where he invited all of us rabbis to contribute an essay about something that makes us angry. What I appreciated about this was the encouragement of me and then of all of us to write and think and share our writing and thinking. And that's the gift that I want to bring to us as the assembly and the movement and wider world is really robust and bold thinking. I'm committed to learning and thinking with all of you, and I think that we've got a lot to respond to in the world. So right now we've got this war going on in Ukraine and Russia that's really disturbing, epoch-shaking, historical moment that calls into question some assumptions that we might have had over the last few decades. And all of that within a broader context of climate collapse. And climate collapse, as I see it, is a theological problem because it arises out of the idolatry of industrialization. The period that led up to industrialization involved European people changing their thinking and relationship to the created world, which we stopped thinking of as created, and that then enabled us to use it in ways that have led to this crisis. So what's called on for me as a religious leader, and I'm looking forward to doing it and continuing doing it with all of you, is how are we going to think religiously in response to it? What is a new theology or a renewed theology for progressive Judaism that can help us think of new ways of being as human beings to change how we are and how we relate to the world? So this is not just responding to the environmental challenge, it's responding to the deep spiritual crisis that has precipitated it.
Hello, I'm Rabbi Elliot Karstadt. I'm one of the rabbis at Aleph, the Northwestern Reform Synagogue. And the image that you'll see is the front page of our booklet. We spent some time this week discussing the why of what we do. And one of my answers to that question has been to bring the learning and studying that I did with many others at the Leo Beck College into my community life. And so I feel very privileged to have been able to put that into practice through what this book represents, which is the Aleph Chavruta Project. You can see that this one is from the Babylonian Talmud Ketubot 61b, which, as someone mentioned yesterday, is perhaps one of my favourite topics of how often a man is obligated to have sex with his wife. I didn't realise it was my favourite, but apparently it is. And this, you can see, is from week two of a six-week course of study that we did on this particular section from the Babylonian Talmud. The idea was to study a text from beginning to end, or a particular section of the Talmud from beginning to end. And we did it through Chavruta, and this started in the midst of the pandemic, so I think part of the popularity of it, when we had 40 or 50 people sign up to do this project as part of the Aleph community, was partly because people were stuck at home and they didn't necessarily have as much stimulation as they might otherwise have had. But we continue to learn, people continue to come, despite the fact that things are now opening up. I am continually surprised by the range and variety of responses that the individuals of Chavruta bring to our learning.
I'm Rabbi Jordan Helfman. I am newly arrived to the Southwest Essex and Settlement Reform Synagogue, where I will be joined by Lev Taylor as the rabbinic team. And one of the things that I bring to the community is my experience on the World Union of Progressive Judaism, where I'm an executive board member, as is Rabbi Deborah Blaustein. And inside of that is an idea of Rabbi as Shadchan. Not that I'm going to be a matchmaker for your children and grandchildren, but Rabbi as matchmaker between good intentions and being able to bring those intentions into the world. So we're going to hear a clip by Rabbi Misha Kapustin, who is the youngest ordinee of the Leo Beck College and is currently the rabbi of the Slovak Federation.
As now I speak Russian, I speak English, I speak Slovak. I learned Slovak very easy in a very interesting way. I came with my family. We came with a stroller and two suitcases. That were the only things we had on us. And we came for a couple of weeks. So we've been here for over 8 years already.
So that is from a program that we ran with LLs and with our local communities in Essex, where we've been paired with the Slovak Federation through the World Union, the European Union, and the European Rabbinic Assembly in order to help support them in their refugee work. And that little bit of text or of dialogue that you heard from Rabbi Misha was him telling when he spoke out against Putin and had to flee his community in Crimea to find a new community in the Slovak Federation in Bratislava, learn a new language. And already my community in that one experience is saying how they feel connected to the wider Jewish world, to the wider world around us, and are being responsive and already helping to support his community as well.
I'm Rabbi Paul Friedman, rabbi at Radlett Reform Synagogue. I'm also editing our Machzor, our High Holy Day Machzor. What I've put on the screen is an example of actually some of the little bits of liturgy that crop up, because my passion perhaps is liturgy as part of the everyday, not just the big products that we have, our main liturgy. So the example follows on really, one example recently was we had our liturgy for the first time, or having your vaccine, somebody had asked for, and then flew around the world. And actually earlier on in lockdown, a short liturgy introducing either funeral or shiva prayers for those who are attending funerals or shiva remotely. So just to add a liturgy to some of the things that are happening every day or that crop up. So recently somebody asked about what we might do for the Jubilee. And actually, so to share with you, I thought we might try, whether it will work for our audio, is to sing together something for the Platinum Jubilee. So the tune is the national anthem, but it's one of the things I find, I'm in awe of those who compose new liturgy, who can write new words in English that speak to the age. But something I learned from our colleague, Rabbi Sylvia Rothschild, is actually really trying to connect with the past and use our resources from Torah, from Talmud, from rabbinic texts. So this is in kind of faux medieval, biblical, rabbinic Hebrew, and it does scan. So the other thing is that we can sing it to that melody. So let's give it a go. You just need to watch out on Shem Malchutcha, Malchut Kol Olamim, is to get the syllables to fit. Sit. Did you stand for that? Well, you can stand online. Ana malach melchei hamlachim shemalchut chamalchut kol olamim lamalchuteinu ten chayim marukim ba 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 ba
should have led straight into one of Jonathan's football matches. It would have been an excellent segue. I think often people see clergy as sort of jack of all trades. We need to be able to respond to our kindergarten children as well as to our adult education. We need to be able to facilitate baby blessings as well as funerals. We need to be able to be there in those pastoral moments as well as in those fundraising moments. But what has been so wonderful to hear today is those real passions of each and every colleague to be able to say, yes, I do all of those things and there's many strings to my bow, but actually the real nugget of the gift that I put out into the world is maybe something that our audience didn't know about each of us. So there could be many, many volumes of this rabbiting on as we talk to even more of clergy in the movement, both past and present, to be able to hear, appreciate and understand their gifts. But for today, I want to thank all of those that contributed. I want to remind our listeners that if there are gifts that you have seen in your clergy that you have appreciated in their rabbinate and cantorate, then do get in touch. If there are aspects of our rabbinic and cantorial life that you think we should be working harder on and be putting more out into the world, then do let us know. And if there are particular gifts that you see in others, then do get in touch, you can email us at media@rjuk.org or our special WhatsApp on 07922 575 583. Thank you so much for being with us. And Rabbis Robin and Debbie and I look forward to our next opportunity to chat together and to take our Rabbiting On series further. So thank you, and thank you for listening.